Hey, podcasters, welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Joined once again with our lovely, lovely co-host, Jill Simonello.
Hello. So have I officially graduated to official co-host?
That's always up to you. The ball is in your court. I'm Tim Estradol, and we're going to move right along from the awkward conversation.
It's not awkward.
I do want to apologize, listeners, because this podcast is going to be a little short. Jill and I are pressed for time, so it's going to be lightning fast as the new Tesla Semi is. Oh, transition right there. Boom. On point.
Lightning fast. That's lightning. The transition.
Got it. The Tesla Semi was unveiled last night to a ruckus crowd of a whole ton of people. The photos were crazy. So here's the deal. It's a really, really weird looking semi that has four motors, 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, 0 to 60 in 20 seconds with an 80,000 pound load, super aerodynamic. Up to 500 miles range and center seated driver of this semi, fully electric. I think I said fully electric already. I have a lot of comments on this, but I think I'm going to go with Jill first, because before I start mouthing off the next 25 minutes about the thing, what do you think, Jill? Where are you at with this?
I just really wish that Tesla would deliver on what they've already promised, and rather than, you know, launching new product. As a part of that, not that anybody on this podcast actually cares, but as a part of this press conference last night, they also revealed a Roadster. And it's like, seriously, people? Okay, you've got this Semi, you've got this Roadster, but you've only produced 220 Tesla Model 3s, which is supposed to be the high-volume vehicle that you are supposed to be getting out there with 450,000 reservations. So, I think this is a great idea. One of the stats that Tesla throws out there is that 80% of the freight in the U.S. is moved less than 250 miles. So if you have something that can go 500 miles, you know, it's like a round trip, basically, without needing to charge the vehicle. So I think it's a great idea. And I think Tesla and Elon Musk have a lot of great ideas, but there comes the point when you just need to say, okay, let's get the stuff done that I've already promised I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that's my comment on that.
Boom. There's a few other details I should point out is there's Musk is saying that you can charge it within 30 minutes and it gets 400 miles of range. And there's a new hypercharger, whatever word he has for these charger setups you want to use. And it is true. It is very true that a lot of the shipping in this country is done short haul, meaning that most cargo is shipped across on trains or some long haul trucking, and then semis pick it up from depots and deliver it in. That's kind of how it works. My thoughts, I'm with Jill in that Tesla has overpromised, underdelivered historically. I do find it odd that it's a center seated driver's position. I don't understand why you'd even do that. I mean, it's already funky enough. Why make it even funkier, right?
So they're saying that it's for, I'm actually looking at the press release on Tesla's website, and it says, unlike other trucks, the Semi's cabin is designed specifically around the driver. Sorry, I'm trying to inflect some excitement here. Featuring unobstructed stairs for easier entry and exit, full standing room inside, and a centered driver position for optimal visibility. So
what happens?
Optimal visibility.
what happens when you have another passenger with you?
You don't, apparently.
You know, there's a lot of husband and wife teams out there that do long haul cross country.
But this car probably isn't meant for cross country. It's meant for the 250-mile, 3-hour whatever drive that you're going from point A to point B. So this is not your long-haul truck.
I would also point out that it's battery-powered, and so you have 80,000 pounds of cargo. And that's a lot of cargo on those batteries. Like, imagine, like, stripping a brick on your RC car. Like, at some point, it's not going to get to that point. I was discussing with something on obviously in the Facebook post, I'm going to bring this up, is that there's a couple things that stand out to me. First, 0 to 60 times are pretty much useless for truck industry. They really don't care. I mean, they're just trying to move the cargo as cheaply as they can.
When you say 5 seconds versus 15 seconds, that's a huge difference.
I think so, and I've called trucking companies and asked them. And they told me, no, we really don't care. And I'm like, well, I think about congestion in the city atmosphere, like sitting behind a semi and a stoplight. This is so much faster. It seems like to me that'd be a benefit, but not to them. What they're concerned about is they're concerned about the weight and how long it takes to charge and the cost. So obviously we don't know cost, and that's going to be a big probably problem with this. Another thing that my friend pointed out, he says 65 mile per hour. So it's supposed to be 60 miles an hour is kind of what their target is, but they're saying 65 mile an hour, constant speed on a 5% grade with 80,000 pounds of payload. That's what they're anticipating. So if you're not only do you have the physics of hauling this 80,000 pounds straight across on a flat road, but when you take that 80,000 pounds and put them on an incline and climb the mountain with it, and you're going to tell me it's going to pull over the mountain just fine? No. Sorry, no, not going to buy it. So I don't know. I'm mixed on it. I like the idea that you're moving towards it. Yeah, short haul trucking can be more electric. You have less maintenance costs, right? So you don't have the oil change, you don't have the diesel change. You're not worried about changing out belts and things like that. It's electric motor, you don't have that problem. But I don't know. Again, they've underdelivered. Price is going to be a huge issue here because how long does it take to get return on investment from a fleet manager standpoint? That's a huge issue. And I don't know that Tesla's. I don't understand why Tesla would want to get into fleet business. Usually, the fleet business and semi sales. There is some profit at a huge volume, but again, they haven't been able to deliver volume, and so you're going to battle with the Kenworths of this world that deliver volume all day long, that have profit margins figured out, that have everything done, and you're going to try to build a network of fleet sales and semis. I don't understand that point of view.
Well, and they're saying that production's going to begin in 2019. So, that's coming soon. And they're already taking reservations at $5,000 per truck.
Yeah, and JD Hunt is, I think it's JD Hunt. They're a trucking company. I just saw a news bleep on that they've already made reservations. And I don't blame them. I mean, why not reserve something? Why not show some interest? Who knows? This could be the next greatest thing. You just got to wait for it to get production. You got to test it out. You got to make sure it's true. But I don't understand. I was with Toyota talking about the Tesla truck, and their engineers and I were discussing it. And Toyota told me flat out that they looked into it. They looked into doing an electric semi truck. But the question for them was, where do you put the battery? I mean, you guys have a lot of battery to get that going. So interesting to say the least. It's good. It's a good news tip before the 2017 LA Auto Show kicks off. That's going to kick off the week after Thanksgiving. Programming note, we will not have a podcast next week. I'm not doing a Thanksgiving podcast. Sorry. Sorry, fans. Disappointed. But
Live from the dinner table.
yeah, that's not going to happen. But the week after is LA Auto Show. I decided not to go this year because LA, and I'm not a huge fan of the big city. And the show is usually sports cars and some green tech, and it's just not very interesting. However, this year is going to be somewhat more interesting, I guess. Just talk for a few minutes about some concepts. There have been some previews coming out. Toyota FTAC is the first thing on my screen. It's a concept. It's going to be a CUV concept, and they're not going to build it, and it's going to be funky. All right. That's kind of what I got to say about that. There's just no way. It's just looking at the front end, it's not going to happen. The big news, Jeep Wrangler is going to be there. We talked about that, I think, last week, or we've talked about it a little bit. They're going to launch it. We've seen photos. There's been interior photos, exterior photos on the website. Check them out. It will debut, and we will actually have specifics on diesel, hybrid. Those are big topics out there. I don't see a hybrid. I do see an eco diesel in that. I think it makes a lot of sense. Land Rover. Jill had some information on Land Rover, and it seems, the information right now is preview, so it's all over the place. What did you think about Land Rover? You were just telling me.
Well, I mean, so they basically they have a global debut event going on Tuesday, and they haven't really released a lot of information about it, but the email they sent says the event's going to introduce five new Jaguar and Land Rover models created by the Special Vehicle Operations Team. So that to me says fast. However, I also thought that, we would see the Jaguar I-PACE production vehicle at the LA Auto Show. I mean, it was last year at the LA Auto Show that they debuted the concept, And I believe they've slated, you know, I don't think I'm pulling this out of my head in a funky place, but I think they said that the I-PACE is slated to be a 2018 model. So, you know, you would think that they would be debuting that as well. So, yeah, Jaguar and Land Rover has something going on. Five models, they said. So I don't know exactly what that will entail just yet. But you know, they mentioned some like the 2018 Range Rover SV autobiography, the Range Rover Sport SVX. So something cool is coming.
Yes.
And something cool and fast. I've driven the Range Rover Sport SVO before, and you want to talk about a sexy, fast SUV. So I'm kind of excited to see what they've got coming. It'll be interesting.
So Jill's in love. All right. So then moving on, Infiniti looks like they're going to bring out the QX70. It's kind of, it's the smaller than the QX80, the big bus looking thing. And so I don't know, we'll see what that's going to come out to be. Mercedes-Benz, it looks like they're going to have a EQ electric sub-brand concept. We'll see how funky that thing looks. Porsche doesn't have anything interesting. Sorry,
I'm telling Luke you said that.
I'm gonna totally tease you. Here, I forgot about this one, the XC40, the Volvo XC40. They did this in Milan. Yeah, and they're going to break the U.S. for the first time. That's a new small SUV. If you haven't read between the lines yet, small SUV is very popular these days.
Although I will say, I'm looking at something that says Lexus is going to bring the RXL to L.A., and it'll be a three-row SUV from Lexus. Really? So yeah, that could be. Well, you know, it makes sense since they have the NX, which is the compactish.
Yeah.
SUV, and then bring out something with three rows because, you know, other than what is it, the GX and the LX, they don't have anything that's smaller with three rows.
That's true.
So
look at you.
I know.
Yeah. I'm promoting you to a halftime guest, possible co-host.
I need some kind of a funky title then to update my LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely. moving on, and I'm going to go with moving on. I had the chance to interview Catskin Leather Company. Catskin makes interiors for cars. And
bad pun.
That was on point. They make these great interiors. I talked to him a couple weeks ago. I'm going to play the interview next, and then Jill and I will be back with some teasers. So stay with us for more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. And we're back with more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm with Doug Johnson, the director of OEM development. He's got one of those fancy titles. With Catskin Automotive Leather Group in Montebello, California. We're here in warm Texas. Not really, it's kind of cold. Versus California. What's 90 degrees today, Doug?
I think so, something like that. It's always warm there.
Yeah.
Never a bad day in Southern California, right?
If you looked at Doug right now, you'd think he'd be in a surfboard right now, right?
Absolutely. I just took my flip-flops off just a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, all right. And if you believe that, there's some more cow manure up in the hills than we can get for you. So, Catskin Automotive Leather. This is a big deal at SEMA. I've seen Catskin. It's the leather that wraps around the interior. But what's that entail?
I think, you know, to start off with, we always like to kind of separate ourselves from seat covers. You know, people, the Catskin seat covers. You know what? We like to separate ourselves from that. We like to think of ourselves as more of an interior transformation. Because, in fact, you have to remove the cloth when you put our cover on the vehicle. So really what it's doing is it's taking your existing cloth off, it's putting leather on in its place. It's not a cover or a slip cover. And every one of our covers is engineered to your seat specifically. So it's not like we say, you own a truck. Okay, well, you want part number 1234. That's our truck part number. No. It's much, much more complex than that. Of course, we have a different pattern for every truck, every configuration. Today, we're sitting in a 2017 Ram Mega Cab, and Ram has 17 different seating configurations. So when you place an order with us, we need to know that you have one of these 17 configurations to make sure we get the right one for your truck.
Right, so, right.
Absolutely. We're spot on. We're engineered. We're making sure that we meet all the factory specifications when it comes to that. And of course, that way, that kind of translates to an awesome fit and finish in the end.
And are you guys like the OEMs these days? Is the level of leather, is that increasing for customers? Are customers demanding higher and higher grades of leather?
There's no doubt about it. Customers are looking for a couple things. Better grade of leather. Additionally, they're looking for color choices. You know what? The days of black, gray, and tan are kind of gone. We're, you know, seeing a lot more of the reds and the browns. We even have some, I would call them maybe exotic colors that kind of match some of the more, more, I don't know, edgy exterior colors. Like, I know the FCA group, on their Charger Challenger, they have a color called Sublime. We've of course answered that with a product that matches that. Again, very bold, in your face, lime green kind of color. And customers are digging it. I mean, they really are. I mean, that's what helps us sell our leather. I mean, quite frankly, we've even had customers say, hey, look, my car's got factory leather, but I need that next level. I need that, you know, that lime green accent, or I need that lime green stitch, or whatever it happens to be. So it's definitely been good for us as customer demand for that continues to increase.
And we're talking, this is something an OEM brought up to me, and it was interesting, is that this is leather all the way around the seat, right? Is it a full leather?
What we do is it's a complete leather face. The way I put it, where your kids kick the back, we still keep that vinyl. Really, it's for durability as much as anything. That, and trying to keep the cost down a little bit.
Okay, all right.
But no, it's not 100% leather all the way around. But again, all of your front seating surfaces, any place your body would touch on the front of the seat is leather. And as compared to a lot of OEMs, we'll just do the insert in leather and the rest will be vinyl.
Yeah.
We do on the front seats, offer it all leather. And then we do on the rear seat offer an option to do complete leather also. Not everyone takes advantage of that. It's a little bit more money, but most people are like, hey, look, you know what, in the rear seat, I'm fine with saving a couple bucks and just having leather in my insert. But obviously the driver passenger seat is what gets the most usage, and of course that's what we want, you know, to get the premium experience in.
Right, so you can order what you want. You can just do the driver's seat, you can just do the passenger, you can just do the back seats, whatever you care for.
Well, we like to sell everything in vehicle sets. It's kind of our business model. But of course, you know, when you do, as I was saying, you can say, hey, look, I'm good with a vinyl leather mix in the rear versus no, I have to have all leather in the rear.
So it just depends on how much you like your kids and your passengers.
How much you like your kids.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
What they get. All right, wait, yep. Before I let you go, yep. We have something to talk about. It's sure. The elf in the room. Actually, it's a cow in the room. We have a cow. We have a Sandy Koufax. You know the... So, Catskin, you've probably seen the cows. They're like collectibles. We were discussing this earlier. So, what's the cows? What's the deal?
The deal with the cow became a symbol for the company several years ago, and we started handing out little squishy cows at SEMA. We made the decision to stop doing it, and quite frankly, it was met with some resistance from our regular visitors at SEMA. So, This SEMA coming up in a couple weeks here will be our third year back with the cow. We have a very creative marketing director that every year comes up with a new cow. And in every January, he puts out a cowlender that also talks about what our cows will be doing that year. So again, Catskin, we obviously embrace the cow. As part of our product is we need cows. And you know what, if it wasn't for the beef industry, we wouldn't have a leather industry. But of course, you know, we like to recycle at Catskin. So hey, we'll take the hides when they're done getting the steak out of it. So
well, and there you go. It's beef. It's not just for dinner.
It's not just for dinner. That is correct.
Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, right back with more Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. And finally on today's podcast, we're going to do some teasers. I hope you have listened to the Nuts and Bolts show and you can give some feedback on whether it sucks or you like it. You know, either way, we're open to both ends. I have been driving around in the 2018 Jaguar F-Pace 26T R Sport. 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder gas engine. So what's funny about this car, this SUV, is it's a two-row SUV. It's really sharply designed. It's a Jaguar. It's really cool. $63,585 suggested price. Let me get to that before I get anything else.
What's really funny about it is I've been taking it hunting. So the cat in the woods has helped me find the deer. It's kind of a funny thing. So Jill and I will discuss that on upcoming Nuts and Bolts, as you'll be just stunned by the coolness of the story. Okay, that's my teaser.
Or not.
That's all I got.
Well, and I'm driving the Volvo XC60. And what's interesting here is it's the electric hybrid version of the XC60. So it's like the T8 is what they're calling it. So it's a plug-in hybrid, I guess is what I should say. And I don't drive a lot of Volvos. So I have to admit, I'm still getting used to what all of their little teardrop icons and electric bolt things mean that are popping up on the screens. But it's a very smooth car. It has 400 horsepower and not quite what I expected. It's smooth and fun and fast and quiet. And I've literally only been driving it for about 24 hours now, you know, back and forth to the gym and running some errands. But I'm so far very impressed. That is going to be my teaser for that.
There you go. So make sure you find us on upcoming podcast. Look from, they're labeled Nuts and Bolts, and it'll be the name of the vehicle there. And check us out on Facebook on Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Find us on the web on pickuptrucktalk.com. Instagram and Twitter are the same, Pickup Truck Talk. And we'll see you down the road in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.